All right. Adoption, lesson number 19. Adoption. Did anybody look up the definition for adoption? David, did you do that? Yes, sir. Boy. Okay. What did it say a little bit? Just give us a little bit of it.
Well, one is legal process one receives into his family and confers familial privileges and advantages. To adopt is considered an actual child becoming the beneficiary of all rights, privileges, and responsibilities afforded to all the children of the family. Adoption is a covenantal concept applicable to the Israelites as a corporate whole.
All right, that's good. You did your homework. All right. It is a legal, binding contract. A legal, binding contract. In Greek, it's huiothesia. All right. I don't know how it's spelled in English.
I'll try.
Something like that. Huiothesia. Like a WH. This wheel. All right. A little diphthong in Greek. Ypsilon iota. Huiothesia. And that comes in two words in Greek. Very important words. Huio is son or heir. It means more than just son. This means the heir. It means the firstborn son. All right. And thesia means the place. Comes from histomy. All right? The place as a son. Now, legally in America, and in many places in the world, America especially, if you adopt someone in your family, if you adopt a daughter or a son, and you become dissatisfied with them later in life, you know what? Huh?
Too bad.
Too bad. Because you can't unadopt them. You cannot get rid of them. You can't disown them. They're there. And if you adopt a daughter or a son, they have first priority inheritance. First priority inheritance. They are like a number one. They are like the heir. Okay? This is legally now. It has a it's familia, the term familia. They're part of the familia, which is Latin for the family. That's a legal term for the family. The father of the family is the pater familia. All right, meshpatha in Hebrew, patria in Greek. These are terms. These are legal terms. Okay. Now God, we find out from the last few lessons that He, by His own oath, has sworn certain things. And when God swears something, can it be broken? It cannot be broken. Now, how secure, we talked about security of the believer last week, didn't we? How secure, we just get one step at a time as you climb a ladder. There's a time element to all learning. Now, if you can't be unadopted, all right, how secure is your salvation as a son of God? Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. If you're really a son. If you're really an heir, really a son of God, you cannot be unadopted. But also, as we studied before, God will correct you if you're going the wrong direction. You're not going to get by with it. At all. Well, we're talking about the heir right now.
Okay.
All right, this is a bit of a women and men.
Okay.
Women and men. Now, the man is still the head of the family. You're not going to get out of that. You're the head of the family. Okay? Men are the head of the family. That's the way God made it. But when it comes to salvation, there is no difference between a male and a female. They're all looked upon as one in salvation.
both of you are heirs. The same. Heirs just the same. Okay? Now let's look and go down and read some of the other questions. What two ways may one become part of my any family? What are the two ways? You're born into the family. That's the natural way, isn't it? Well, yeah, you can be married into the family also. But there are basically two ways to get into a family. One is you're born into a family, okay? You're a child, okay? The next thing is to be adopted. And when you're adopted, in our culture, it is more powerful, more substantial than even the natural son or daughter, because you can disown a natural son or daughter, but you cannot disown someone that's adopted. Okay? You've got to remember that. All right? Now, physically, whose children are we by nature? Physically, what?
Your mom and dad.
Your mom and dad's. Okay? You are your mother and father's children by nature. Now, in this world, we're all Adam's children, aren't we? We have life from Adam, and we have death from Adam. Okay? We are born into the world, but we're born terminal. When you're born again, you're born eternally. Isn't that much more beautiful? We talk about our life on earth is terminal. It's relating to an end. But eternally, we don't have an end to that life. Okay? Spiritually, whose children are we by nature? 2, 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2. What? Children wrath. Let's go there to the book of Ephesians. Okay? Ephesians 2. Let's look at that. Paige, are you over there? Could you start off with that for us, please?
And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to this worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit now working in the disobedient.
Okay, hold on right there. It said in which you formerly walked according to the road, the pathway, okay, of this world system. Okay, according to the prince and the power of the air, that means the atmosphere where we live. Who is the god of this world right now? Who's considered the god of this world? At this present age? Satan. Satan is a god of this age, okay? The prince and the power of the air of the spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. Did you get that far? Okay? That word working there means energizing. It comes right from the word energy. Our word energy comes right out of the Greek word. Energizing the sons of disobedience. And the word disobedience literally means those that are not persuaded. Those that are unpersuaded. Now, when you get saved, you get persuaded and you get on a new pathway, you get a brand new brain. Brand new way of thinking, okay? And page number 3. All right. Okay, we were children of wrath, even as those remaining. Look at the word. Even as the rest. Is that the way it says in yours? The rest? Okay. We were children of wrath, even as the rest. Is that what it says? Oh, as the ones remaining in that clutches of sin. All right. As the ones that are remaining in the clutches of sin, we were by nature children of wrath. But number 4 now. Number 4. Verse number 4. Kathy, are you there? Okay.
But God being rich in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us.
All right. With which He loved us. God being in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Okay. We went a little bit further than what we were going to, but that's good. Number 5, spiritually, how does one become a child of God?
Through
All right. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. I want you to put that down there also. And then John 3, 3 through 5. Let's look in there also at Ephesians 2 and 5. Ephesians 2 and 5. Are you there, David?
Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
All right. By grace you have been saved. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made provision for us. All right? And then John 3, 3 through 5. Marilyn, are you in John the third chapter? No. Oh, okay. All right. John 3, 3 through 5. Have you got your Bible with you tonight? No?
Yeah. But
okay, all right. All right. Young lady, would you read for me? All right, unless a man be born again, he cannot see or cannot perceive and cannot understand the kingdom of God unless you're born again. All right? And how do we do that? By being born again. Now, Nicodemus should have known what being born again was because he had stated this many times to proselytes. Nicodemus was what? What was he? He is probably the most educated man that ever came to Jesus. And he came to Jesus representing the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin court. He was a judge on the Sanhedrin court. He was a Pharisee. And he was also a rabbi. Rabbi. What does rabbi mean? It means doctor of theology. Okay, that's a doctor. Doctor of theology. Rabbi. All right. Brother Hubbard used to call me rabbi all the time. He was one of my teachers. He called me rabbi. That's quite a bit when one of your teachers calls you rabbi, doctor. And he meant it, too. That's a term of great respect. Well, here this man was. He's a doctor of theology, the rabbi. He is a judge on the Supreme Court. He is a Pharisee, which was the elite. The word Pharisee in the book of Daniel, the handwriting on the wall was what? Many, many tekel upharsin. Remember that? Many, many tekel upharsin. Well, that meant, that last part meant divided. He's talking to that king there, and he said, your kingdom's going to be taken away from you. It's going to be loosed from you. The word upharsin and Pharisee means to separate or to divide. And the Pharisees were such a elite group, such stricklers of the law of Moses, that they separated themselves from all others and said that we are the elite. We keep the law even more. They had about 700 more laws than God did. And they kept all of these laws. Well, when a heathen came to a synagogue and wanted to believe in the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, he had to go through a class like you're going through here. This is what you call a discipleship class. And he would tell, this person will have to get up and repeat, who is God? And they'd say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And they do all of these things. He had to go through basically the bar mitzvah that every young Hebrew boy had to go through. And then at the end of it, when he stood before the synagogue and recited all this, then he had to denounce. We ought to do this a little bit more. He had to denounce his ethnic background. In other words, he said he had to say that I'm no longer a Cyrenian. I'm no longer an Ethiopian. I'm no longer an American. Whatever you are, they had to say I am no longer part of that, but I am now a part of the nation of Israel. And when he did that, after all of this, they would take him and they would dip him. They would baptize him. And he would die to his old ethnic background and he'd be raised anew unto newness of life and in a brand new culture. They buried him. And when he rose, that's what they call being born again. When he renounced all of that and when he became a proselyte, a adopted son of Israel, then he was born again. All right? So now we're born. I was a heathen Indian, you know. That's what my family were. I mean, I think I had one German back there, 1600, maybe one in 1800, something like that, a long time ago. But most of our family were Indian. I was a heathen. All right? Now I'm a Christian. Whatever, wherever you are, whatever culture you're from, whether it's Deutschland, German, whether it's Danish, whatever it is, when you become a Christian, you're no longer that. You are a Christian. You are a child of the promise. Okay, a child of the promise. Did we go all the way to verse 5?
No, sir.
Okay, go right on ahead.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
All right. What he told him, what Nicodemus answered him, a smart answer. That was what we call a pop-off. He said, I'm going to have to go back and be born again in my mother's womb. How can I go back in my mother's womb and be born when I'm old? To Jesus. Because Jesus had told him very sharply that you must be born again. All these people you're saying, they must be born again to become a child of God, a child of the King, a child of Israel, grafted into the promise of Israel. I'm telling you, it's not enough. You need to be born again. So Nicodemus makes an excuse. I can't do it. And he goes on and tells him later on that he said, you don't understand spiritual things. He said, I can tell you physically, earthly things. You can't even understand that. How can I tell you spiritual things? And that's what they told the proselytes when they came to them. You have to flush all your mind. You have to cleanse your mind of all your culture and background and follow now and learn how to think anew again as a Jew. You know, all that pork you've been eating over there and all those lobsters and things and clams and things that you shouldn't have been eating over there in that culture, now you're not going to eat that because if you become a Jew, that's dirty to you. That's unclean now. Okay? You got to walk off and leave it. And Jesus, what Jesus told Nicodemus is, you are unclean. You are unclean. And he didn't like it. So he popped off and says, well, how can I be born again? Well, Nicodemus had been telling people how to be born again all the time. Number 6, is the flesh body reborn at the time of the new birth? John 3, 4 through 6. John 3, 4 through 6. Marilyn, are you there?
I think so.
Okay, can you read out real loud?
Yes.
All right. I want you to read out loud like you're hollering at me out there on the farm. You know, let me hear you.
Hopefully I'm in the right place.
Oh, 3, John 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 4.
Yeah,
number...
Brand new Bible there, Kathy. She's trying to find her.
Nicodemus.
Yes, yes. John 3 and verse
4.
Yeah.
Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Can he?
Keep on going, yeah. Is that through number 6 now?
Yes.
Okay. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Not going to change. Now, when the Lord saved you, did your body quit deteriorating at that moment?
No.
What? I mean, the body is still cursed. That's it. But is your spirit cursed now?
No.
It's set free. Your spirit is set free. All right. What kind of body will the saved have in the ages to come? 1 John now. That's where you were a while ago. 1 John, Marilyn. 1 John 3 and 2 and Luke 24, 36 through 43. Who has that? Are you over there, Paige?
Yeah.
All right. 1 John 3 and 2? Okay. All right. When he appears, we'll be like him. All right. We'll be like him. Like him what? After the resurrection. After his resurrection, we will be like him. Okay. Beautiful. The absolute incorruptible body. It says you take this corruption and you put on incorruption. It's not going to deteriorate. You won't have to eat to stay alive.
Do you think when you're in heaven you'll be the same age, like 4 or 5, a child that died 4 or 5, will they be the same age in heaven?
I can't answer everything about it, but I would think this is me. Okay, this is my opinion. Okay, if a child died when he's 3 years old, when he goes to heaven, he's going to be 3, and he'll grow up, but he won't grow old. Okay, if a child dies before he's even born, that child will grow up in heaven. Grow up in heaven. All right, that's just my opinion. I mean, that's what, if I was God, that's what I'd do, and I'm sure he will do it his way. But that's only an opinion. That's all it is. Kathy, Luke 24, 36 through 43. Did I answer your question, by the way? Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you there, Kathy? Luke 24, 36 through 43. What kind of body will the saved have in the ages to come? Here's Jesus. He's in his resurrected body. He says that a spirit did not have flesh and bones like he does. He's not a spirit. Are there spirits? There are good spirits and bad spirits, aren't we? We know that from the Bible. When did God create all the spirits? There are spirits and angels. Spirits and angels are two different entities. Okay? A spirit does not have any form. Period. There are good spirits and there are bad spirits. Okay? Demon spirits, daimonia in Greek. Daimonia. All right? The word daemon. Daemon is... comes from the word demon. Okay? Daimonia. All right? That name means little god. Demon means little god. Demon means little god. Okay? And what do you mean by little god? It means that it is supernatural. A supernatural being. It's beyond our physical realm. Okay? And he created spirits and he created angels. Now, these church members there that were meeting there, waiting for Jesus now, did they ever encounter evil spirits? Had they ever encountered evil spirits during Christ's ministry? Remember when he sent them out before? He gave them power over spirits, didn't he? and they encountered evil spirits. And one time they encountered one spirit, and they said, we couldn't cast him out. We couldn't do it. Another time it says, Lord, we even have power over the spirits, over the demon spirits. Which he did give them power. But some of those spirits were really bad, weren't they? And there was one of them they had trouble with. All right? And of course, Jesus didn't have trouble with any of them. I mean, when he came in, into the presence of someone with a demon spirit, the demon started crying out, please don't run us in. Don't do us in. Don't throw us away. Don't destroy us yet. Don't put us in the bottomless pit or in hell fire or whatever. And so, spirits, demon spirits, seek to dwell in human or animal flesh because they do not have form. And Jesus wanted them to understand, I'm not a spook. I'm not a spook. See, I have flesh and blood. I'm not a spook. They were afraid of him. Why were they afraid? What made them afraid of him? How did he get in the room? How did he get in the room? He walked through the door. Not, he didn't open the door and walk in. He walked through the door. How in the world did he do that?
He was able to.
He was capable of doing that. Now, if I weigh about 175 pounds, if you knocked all the air out of me and all the space, I would be smaller than that. Anatomically, okay? Smaller than that. But I would still weigh that much. Because that's how much real matter there is in my person, okay? I would have that much real matter, and that matter, even though it's that small, would still weigh 175 pounds. Okay? Now, that means that I have a lot of empty spaces somewhere, don't I? How many of you have ever seen a description or a diagram of the atom? All of our cells are made up of atoms. Okay? Now, here we are. We have chairs sitting down there. That chair is actually whirling and moving. It's not solid. But when you sit on it, does it hold you up? It does. But actually, it's moving. We just don't understand it. Now, if you were in a resurrected body, evidently, what Jesus did, all of those spaces in his anatomy and all those spaces in the matter, he could just walk right through it. Without any problem, just like you're walking through the wall, through the door, like you open the door and walk in and out. So he could do that because his person perfectly lined up with the universe. Right? He didn't have to open the door. He could just walk through a wall or walk through the door or whatever. He told them that he was a real physical being. All right, he was a real physical being. He breathed, and he still was able to eat and drink. And to, they could take him and touch him. He was real. All right? He's tangible. Tangible. Look at that word, tangible. Tangible. What does tangible mean? That which may be touched. That's what tangible means. So he was physical. But he was in a resurrected body. That's the kind of body. The only understanding that we have of a resurrected body is what we evidence we have from the Scriptures. Okay? Kathy, how far did you get? You went all the way through it? Okay. Yes.
About spirits. I'm just confused. Is it like spirits that we have in us too?
Okay, now we have a spirit of disobedience when we're born. We're triune in nature. Remember, we looked at the... I think I'm going to have to erase some of this before I can go any further. We are body. We are mind.
and soul, okay? And we are spirit. We are triune in God's
triune image, okay? Now, spirit. When we're born into this world, we have the spirit of Adam. We have an Adamic spirit, okay? That's an Adamic spirit.
And that spirit, this looks just like the English word.
Can you say that in Greek? That's Greek. Can you read that? Just read it just like you would in English. What's it say? Huh? Kakos. That's exactly what it is. This is what is Adamically bad. This is by nature bad. Okay? This is the word for bad in Greek. But it's Adamically. Adamically bad. All right? This is natural Adamically bad. Now, you can get worse than that. You can get evil. The evil word for evil is phonerios. All right? That's real bad. Okay? But this kakos, this is what we name, this spirit has a spirit of disobedience in us. When we're born again, this spirit is put out. And the spirit of God comes in us. Okay? We have a new spirit in us. And that spirit, from that time on, controls the mind and it controls the body. Now, if you are a lost person, already you have the spirit of disobedience in you. Do you think, in this triunity that you have here, do you think there's room for an evil spirit? He just moves right in, doesn't he? And brings a whole bunch of his buddies.
But once you're born again, the evil spirit
cannot. No. That evil spirit is forever chained out and locked out. You're not going to get unborn, unadopted, are you? Okay? Are you learning a little bit as we go on with this? I mean, there are a lot of biblical doctrines. We studied about angels and different things before. We studied about the devil. We studied about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We studied all these things. We studied these lessons. But as you learn a certain amount, get some knowledge underneath your belt, then you can make the next step. I remember here a while back, I had been writing this. I have done this diagram thousands of times in the last few years. I had one girl in my classroom, and she came in for months and months and months, and all of a sudden, have you ever seen anybody turn a light on? The light turned on, and she said, "I understand!" Just like that. I got it. I could teach somebody else this now. I got it. Well, there's a certain amount you got to learn. Okay. Now the spirits. These spirits come in here. When Jesus came upon somebody that was possessed of a demon spirit, where was that spirit? In the spirit cavity. But it was housed in the body, wasn't it? And it controlled his mind and his soul and his destiny. And when Jesus cast it out, now he cast out the evil spirit. Okay? There was a Gadarene demoniac that came to Jesus. Or that Jesus went to, not that he came to him. But he came to this Gadarene demoniac, and there was more than one. We know something about the one there. The demons were cast out of him. The demons confronted Jesus, said, "Don't throw us into the internal fire yet. Don't put us in the bottomless pit. Can we go into something else? How about letting us go into those pigs over there?" And there was a whole herd of pigs, about 2,000 pigs over there. And he said, "Can we go in there?" And he said, "Okay, I'll release you." But what did the pigs do? The pigs decided to die. They jumped in the Sea of Galilee and they drowned. They had a choice too. They didn't want to live with them evil spirits in them. All right? So evidently an animal must have some kind of spirit in it. I don't understand. The Bible just doesn't say a whole lot about animals, but there is a nephesh there, there is a soul there, there is a spirit, there is a life there, and evidently evil spirits can even dwell in animals. Now, there was a spirit from the Lord went into the donkey of Balaam, didn't he? Donkey or Balaam's donkey? You remember that when the donkey talked to him? All right. And so the donkey was cooperating with this spirit, and evidently this was a spirit of God, come from God, a good spirit. Okay? Well, when we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, nothing else is going to get in there when you're really saved. It doesn't mean that your mind can't be tormented and your body can't be tormented in sickness. But the Spirit is forever locked in and forever saved.
Can I ask another question about that?
Yeah.
Do you think there are still demon spirits today?
Yes. There are still demon spirits today. There are going to be some real bad demon spirits turned loose on the world during the tribulation period. Let's go on a little further. Although the present body will be changed in the resurrection, it will be the same body. How can it become a part of the family of God, a child of God? And now we have learned that already, haven't we? Now we can answer that. All right? Number 9. When is the adoption of the outward man begun? Galatians 3:26, 4, 6, and 7, and 1 John 3, 1, and 2, and 5, and 1. So we're going to need to jump around there a little bit. Are you over there in place, Kathy?
Yes.
Where are you?
3:26.
Okay.
For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus
Christ. All right. You're sons of God. You're adopted sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then 4, 6, and 7. All right, isn't that beautiful? Now, do you understand this chart diagram just a little better? What's controlling? You're no longer slaves to the lust of the flesh. You're not slaves. You don't have to do that because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. All right, and did you get number 7 also? Galatians 4, 6, and 7?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, 1 John 3 and 1. Are you over there, David? 1 John 3 and 1?
No.
Okay.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him.
Number 2.
Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
All right. We'll be able to see Him as He is. The church members there that feasted upon, their eyes feasted upon Messiah that had died on the cross of Calvary and that was raised again, they were afraid because they didn't really understand. But when we see Him, we will be like Him and we'll understand all those things again. And then 5 and verse 1. 5 and verse 1. Are you over there, Paige? 1 John 5 and 1. Are you there, Kathy? Okay, there it is. That's it. If you're born again, then you love the Father, and that means that you lay aside the things of the world for the Father. Simple as that. That's one of the ways that we know that we're children of God. John wrote, "These things I write unto you, little children, that you might understand, that you might know, that you might completely understand that ye are sons of God." All right, number 10. When will adoption be completed? Ephesians 1 and 14 and Romans 8 and 23. Who's in Ephesians? Paige.
He is the down payment of our inheritance for His redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory.
All right. We have the down payment of the Holy Spirit in us that is not going to be, it's non-refundable down payment. It cannot be taken back. So once we're born again, we are done. Once we're adopted, and nothing can unadopt you. Isn't that beautiful? Now this, we talked about security of the believer last week, but now isn't this just... We studied that lesson, but now we study another one, and we understand that one better now because we've studied this one. The doctrines are like building a house. You start out with the foundation, and then you go up. All right, Romans 8 and 23. Are you there?
Yes. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies.
Okay, we've already been adopted, all right, but we're going to get the redemption of our bodies now. Our bodies are going to be changed. Do you groan within you as a saved person to lay aside the old nature and the old corrupt body? Number 11, where did adoption have its origin? Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Now, we've studied the book of Ephesians quite a little bit, 1, 3 through 6 now. Let's look at that. That's beautiful. Are you there, Kathy?
the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will.
All right. It tells us, and then of course the next one here, what is the ground or basis of adoption? Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, just exactly like we had there, and in Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Have we studied some of that before? Are you over there, David? Galatians 4?
Yes. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father.
All right. Abba, Father, what does that mean? That is an old Arabic and then a Hebrew word. Abba, Abba, Abba. Say that. Abba, 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 Abba. Have you ever heard a baby say that? Abba, 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 Abba. Huh? Play with his little mouth. Blah, 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 blah. That's what the term comes from.
And they'll
learn to
say that before they learn to say mama.
That's right. Because that's blah, blah, blah. And the Persians said that the first words from a child's mouth were his daddy's name. And so that meant daddy in that language. Abba, blah, blah. Daddy. He's calling for daddy. All right. So when we're born again, we call for our father too, don't we? We have a right to call for our father then because we're children. All right. Number 13. How can no one know that he has a place of adoption in the family of God? Galatians 4 and 6 and Romans 8, 15 and 16. Now we studied Galatians 4 and 6 already, but how about Romans 8 and 15 and 16? Romans 8, 15 and 16. Are you there, Kathy? All right.
For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
All right, that we are sons of God. We have been adopted. We are heirs. All right, we are heirs. Number 14, what are some of the privileges adoption provides? Romans 8 and 15. We've covered some of that already. Romans 8 and verse 15. But how about Hebrews 4 and 16? Hebrews 4, 16. Some of the privileges. Hebrews 4, 16. Who's there? Marilyn, did you find Hebrews yet?
Well, you
passed one of them. Oh, okay. Hebrews 4, 16.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. How do we draw near to the throne of grace? By prayer. Do you know that the Old Testament, I want you to understand something, that the Old Testament saints did not look upon God as Father. He was God. But now we get to call God Daddy. I remember when Dakota was little, every other word that came out of her mouth was "dada, dada, dada." I remember that. That was music to my ears. I'm going to tell you something. And when you call upon God, it is music to His ears. Music to His ears. It is. They love to hear it. I love to hear it, Dakota. Now it says, "Dad." I love to hear that. Sometimes I'll go by her room and she'll say, "Dad!" And I'll go in there and I'll see what she wants and then I'll shut the door and I just get outside the door, "Dad!" And I'll open the door and say, "Yeah." And then I tell her whatever we're going to say and I shut the door and, "Dad!" I love it. So does God. God loves it. It wears you out sometimes just about. You know, the old body gets tired going back and forth. But you know what? I love to hear it. I love to hear it. Well, we get to pray to God because He's our Father. Romans 8 and 17, we've said that. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Let's look there. We're tripping right along here quickly. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. That's Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter, okay? Anybody there? Young lady, do you have that? Yes. Could you read that for me?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
All right. And in Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 12, 5 and 6, 10 and 11. Hebrews 12, are you there, Kathy?
And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the disciplines of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scorches every son whom He receives.
He scorches you. He scourges you, doesn't He? What does that mean, scourges? Every son that he receives. Scourges.
How many of you have been scourged?
That's whips. He switches you. Now, I want to tell you something. It is a privilege to be switched by God. It is a privilege to be switched by God, because when you get switched by God, you know that you're His. Because He's not going to switch you if you're the devil's, is He? If you be without chastisement, what does it say? You are illegitimate. You're bastards, is what it says. You're illegitimate children. You're not His. You might have said you're His child, but if you go without chastisement, you just keep on wandering down that road and pathway of the world, and nothing happens to you, no roadblocks are thrown in your way that you can't go do that. Watch out. Because you're not adopted. As simple as that. Go on, Kathy.
Verse 10. For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
The peaceful fruit of righteousness. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Isn't that nice? All right. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16. Are you there, Paige? Or no? All right. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16. Who is there? Are you there, David? All right.
But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy.
All right. We ought to act like our Father, shouldn't we? We ought to be righteous. We ought to be holy before the world. Now, number 15. What effect should this lesson have on my attitude toward the control of my person, my body? Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And Romans 12, 1 and 2. Or are you there, Paige? Nearly? David, are you over there anywhere? Romans, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You there, Paige? Okay.
Do you not know what your body is, a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
All right. Now, this is a lot of people like to apply this to the person, and it is secondarily. This, first of all, is to a church. When you're in God's church, you are part of that body, and you don't defile it. Personally, you don't defile your body with bad stuff or with bad things. This is what the scripture you were looking for a little earlier in the New Testament, okay? And verse 19 and 20 in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Are you there, David?
Yes.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
All right. Present your body as a living sacrifice, which is reasonable. All right? Reasonable. That's what we do. Do you have any questions on this lesson?
We kind of got started late, but we started going in a real hurry.
Are you learning one step at a time, really beginning to understand the Scriptures like you didn't before by studying this? This is the reason why I have done this class so many times. I think this is the fifth time that I've done this class. And every time, I remember in Sunday school, the class on the doctrines of the Bible. When I taught the doctrines of the Bible the first time, I got through and I said, I'm going to go on to another lesson now. And I was thinking about what I wanted. And I got down to about the last two or three lessons and I asked the Sunday school class, what would you like to learn next? And they said, do it again. I said, what? Do it again. We'll understand it this time. And when I got through with it that time, this is years now I'm talking about. I'm going through this for years, like two or three years. I finished with it the second time, and I said, now, what would you like to do? We got a lot of new people in here. Let's go over it again. And I said, you got to be kidding. So I did it again. And I did it over and over again. And then some of the pastors, they took this booklet and everything else, and they taught classes on it in different parts of the church. John Gage taught it. Brother Art Sherez taught it. We, went on and on. But this is one of the most important classes you'll ever take, because this is the foundation of your Christian faith, and you will understand and you will have answers for people that ask you these things. Can you give an answer to somebody that is an Armenian today? Do you even know what an Armenian is now? Somebody that believes that they can lose their salvation? How foolish is that thought now? Do you think God is going to unadopt you? Do you think He's going to unborn you? It says you are born again. You're born from above. How do you get unborn? It's not going to happen, is it? So now you should have more confidence and have been born again. Also, I taught this class, and I had people that were church members came forward and were saved. They were saved. They were church members. They had been baptized, and they came forward. I said, I know. They say, I know. I'm lost. I need to be saved. And so they were saved. They went through the motions before. They went through the legal actions, they thought, of asking the Lord to forgive them and all that. But the Spirit of God never came into their life. And boy, do you see the Spirit of God really work in their life? You can be in false religion, even in one of Baptist churches. And the old term, security of the believer, once saved, always saved, is a curse sometimes, because people will take that and run with that and just go on and live their lives like they want to. And if God is not switching you, guess what? You're not God's child. As simple as that. Because a God's child is not going to get by with that. And we know that, don't we? Now, we know that. So if God isn't switching you, watch out. That's when they, as you learn, even you can learn about spirituality. Okay? Next week we're going to study about the church, lesson number 20. This is one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the New Testament and taught in the world today. One of the most misunderstood doctrines in the world today. When I taught this, people go, and they say, I never realized that before. About that. We're going to study about it. I may have to spend 2 weeks on it. I don't know. Because it's a big lesson. I'm going to try to do it in one lesson, if I can possibly do it. All right? Well, do you have any more questions before we turn you loose on the world and you go out and do something eternal this week? And I hope that you have got more foundation underneath you than you did last week. I hope every week is stronger. Kathy, is it helping you? You learning? All right. Well, young lady, would you dismiss us in prayer today, please?